Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. May God be with you and give you eyes and ears to understand these things that we're going to talk about and prepare you for the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I think we're going to talk about the time is late. And this first revelation I want to share with you, it's up to you. Debbie Finske, she got this on January the 24th, 2025. And she said on the 24th of this month, I was walking and listening to an audio of David's. He made a statement about putting idols away from us. And so I said, yes, Lord, no idols. I said that I resolved to stop putting my time before his time, which is what the Lord has been dealing with me in. Then I heard the Lord say, it's up to you. Don't think that you can do this at the last minute because, no, you can't. I have spoken this many times before. I will not speak to my people on this anymore, to my people who know better. The last minute is almost here. You know this. And if you wait till the last minute, you will miss being in my bride. Are you taking this seriously? The time is now. It has always been now. How it must affect a husband when his bride is not spending her time with her lover, but spending it on things she loves more than him. And how it must affect a bride when her husband is not spending his spare time with his bride, but spending it on things he loves more than her. What happens? They are not giving and receiving love and life. The relationship is dying. They fall away from each other because there is no common bond of love. So many of my people are killing their relationships with me because their love is in other things, people, and ways of this world. I have called you. Many I have tried to woo to me, but I am ignored. I say to all my dear ones, take to heart what I am saying to you. Be a bride unto me. Search your heart. The last minute is here. There is no more time after that. Pull away from the worldly temptations. Come to me. Let us run together. I see us running together. My darlings, see it and run. Enjoy my love more than the sweetness of wines. How can anything or anyone else be sweeter than the wine I long to share with you? How is it that there can be anything more pleasant to you than our love together? Let me hear you say to me, your lover, draw me unto thee, and we will run together. Amen. My longing is for my bride and our future together. You know who you are. For we have shared sweet love together. There is so much more in store. Do not fall away from our love and what there is yet before us for lesser things. Amen. And this one is, we called Peace and Patience, Ras Robinson, 8/21/2007. It's a prophetic word called Peaceful Wisdom. I am seeing someone today who is precious to the Lord, gifted of Him, and serving God and those around you with all your might. but I also see you victimized by the tranny of the urgent. At times, you are almost frantic in responding to the random calls of legitimate needs. The Lord spoke these words to me for you to consider. The Holy Spirit, who fills and empowers you, is never in a hurry. Jesus is not frantic. The needs of people and the cares of this world have always been with us. They will continue. Your lot in life is to find peaceful wisdom and show it to the world about you by your countenance and actions, words, thoughts, and deeds. And if you will do this, you will have done well. By the way, I love you and your good heart, and signed, Peaceful Wisdom, who is, of course, the Lord, right? Amen. Verse given is James 3 and 17, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. Well, I've always said that God starts on time to finish on time, but when I begin to forget this, I hear Isaiah 28 and 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone of sure foundation. He that believeth shall not be in haste. Well, amen. So even though Jesus was so busy ministering to the multitudes, he was at peace. However, his friends thought he would surely break down. Mark 3 and 20 says, and the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. Well, I don't know about you, but sometimes I wish I would be beside myself, then I would have more help. Matthew 11 and 28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And here's one we call The Time of Shaking, Lance Lambert, 1986. This prophecy was given in 86 during a prophetic conference in Jerusalem. 153 prophets from 30 to 40 nations had gathered to wait upon and to hear from the Lord. The highlights of this prophecy to the entire body of Christ are as follows. It will not be long before there will come upon the world a time of unparalleled upheaval and turmoil. Do not fear, for it is I, the Lord, who am shaking all things. I began this shaking with the First World War, and I greatly increased it through the Second World War. Since 1973, I have given it an even greater impetus. In the last stage, I plan to complete it with the shaking of the universe itself, with signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. But before that point is reached, I will judge the nations, and the time is near. It will not only be by war and civil war, by anarchy and terrorism, and by monetary collapse that I will judge the nations, but also by natural disasters, by earthquakes, by shortages, and famines, and by old and new plague diseases. I will also judge them by giving them over to their own ways, the lawlessness, to loveless selfishness, to delusion, and to believe in a lie, to false religion, and an apostate church, even to a Christianity without me. Do not fear when these things begin to happen, for I disclose these things to you before they commence, in order that you might be prepared, and that in the day of trouble and of evil you may stand firm and overcome. For I purpose that you may become the means of encouraging and strengthening many who love me but who are weak. I desire that through you many may become strong in me, and that multitudes of others might find my salvation through you. And hear this, do not fear the power of the Kremlin, in other words, the USSR communists who were broken, right? Nor the power of the Islamic Revolution, which is being broken now by spreading Christianity. And this is conquering Islam in countries now that we know about. The deep state leaders favoring Islam are also being overthrown. Amen. For I plan to break both of them through Israel. New Testament Israel, by the way, are those circumcised in heart, not flesh. Islamic nations that come against Israel with Russia at Armageddon are conquered by the Lord. And I will bring down their pride and their arrogance, he says, and shatter them because they have blasphemed my name. In that day, I will avenge the blood of all the martyrs and of the innocent ones whom they have slaughtered. And that's surely an awful lot. Right? I will surely do this thing, for they have thought that there was one to judge them. That there was no one to judge them. But I have seen their ways, and I have heard the cries of the oppressed and of the persecuted, and I will break their power and make an end of them. Be ye therefore prepared, for when all this comes to pass, to you will be given the great opportunity to preach the gospel freely to all nations. The recent political revival that we've been seeing will also bring the man-child reformers, and true Christianity will make a powerful appearance. Back to the prophecy here. In the midst of all the turmoil and shaking, and at the heart of everything is my church, meaning, of course, the called out ones. In the heavenlies, she is joined to me in one spirit, and I have destined her for the throne. You who are my beloved, whom I have redeemed and anointed, you are mine. I will equip and empower you, and you will rise up and do great things in my name, even in the midst of darkness and evil. For I will reveal my power and my grace and glory through you. Do not hold back nor question my ways with your thoughts about all my dealings with you. I have always in mind that you should be part of my bride and reign with me. Do not forget that this requires discipline and training. So yield to me that I might do a work in you in the time which is left. For I plan, even during all of this shaking, the bride will make herself ready. For in the midst of these judgments, multitudes upon multitudes will be saved from the nations. You will hardly know how to bring the harvest in, but my Spirit will equip you for the task. And to Israel will I also turn in that day, and I will melt the hardening which has befallen her. I will turn their blindness into clear sight and tear away the veil on their heart. Yes, and I believe God will turn again to Israel when the fullness of the Gentiles converts have come in. Then shall they be redeemed with heart-bursting joy, and it will become a fountain of new and resurrection life to the whole company of the redeemed. Do not fear for these days, for I have purposed that you shall stand with me and serve me in them. Fear not, for I love you, and I will protect you and equip you. I, the Lord, will anoint you with a new anointing, and you will work my works and fulfill my counsel. You shall stand before me, the Lord of the whole earth, and serve me with understanding and with power, and you shall reign with me during these days. Above all, I call you to be intercessors. So here's one we called Time is Almost Up, Jenny Hughes, 10/10/2013. And I have notes in here of my own, and also Deb got it before I did. She put some notes too. So yesterday was very eventful. I had a visit from two angels, one in the natural and one in my dream. Well, a natural message and a spiritual message could be imparted here. The angel, or angelos in Greek, means messenger. The angel in the real world said to get going while the going is good. Well, the one in the dream said, time is almost up. I wrote as fast as I could to get the message out. I was at two grocery stores. I believe that's representing spiritual food. Father blessed me with awesome meat deals. Meat of the word, I would say. In fact, only a couple of items were not reduced for quick sale. It was mostly meat. I got ground chicken breast, ground chicken dark meat, whole chicken thighs, smoked turkey, fresh salmon, and steelhead trout. It was awesome. In fact, the clerk asked, do you only buy reduced marked items? I said no, but the Lord blessed me today. Hallelujah. Well, my thought was, we must now seek with all of our heart the spiritual meat of doing the will of our Father. This meat of eternal value is to grow up the spiritual man. And this also comes at low cost to us, for it is by grace, because Jesus paid the price, right? John 4:34 says, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to accomplish his work. Then on to store number two. I went in, and again, things were on sale at bargain prices. I was getting ready to head out when I saw a slightly older woman in her 60s or 70s in a riding cart. I saw her searching for something and knew I needed to help her. So I went over to her and offered assistance. She said, they, quote unquote, sent her here to find the Brooks chili mix. I said, quote, well, I know what Brooks cans look like and will help, unquote. And sure enough, it was on the topmost shelf. Well, let me say that a brook is a river of living water. They call living water in the Old Testament moving water, right? And we call it the Word of God, the very highest food, the heavenly food of the kingdom is what makes sons of God. Those who are in the old church of apostasy are used to spiritual junk food or milk, and they are spiritually crippled and need our patient help to reach for the higher heavenly food of acting on the Word. I got a big can down for her, and she said she needed two, so I grabbed another can and handed it to her. There was no room in her cart, so she had to hold the two cans clutched to her chest, or heart, in other words. And as she then made a very profound statement, well, I better get going while the going is good. And she headed down the main aisle to leave. Her words hung with me the rest of the day. Well, I think this is a sign that it is getting late and judgment is upon us, and we must get out of the apostate church while we can and head for the ark of Jesus. Matthew 24:38 says, for as in those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Those who are consumed with their fleshly needs or wants need to be mindful to pursue their spiritual needs now, or they will miss the boat. True. This one we call Shed the Luxuries, Get Ready for Wilderness. Jenny Hughes, 10/10/2013. Last night I had two visions or dreams. In the first one, my grandmother came to me to tell me to keep what had value. I think that's as far as a personal need, right? To keep what had value and to sell what did not. I think this advice came to us through the early church, represented here by grandmother, who was going into tribulation. The economy will ultimately crumble, and even gold will soon be worthless, believe it or not, especially to Christians who will not be able to buy or sell. Make sure that what you have but don't need counts for something. In other words, make it pay off some kind of a way. What you give to others who have a need when you don't have a need is like storing up in their bank of heaven that never fails to meet your needs. Give, it'll be given unto you, right? Luke 12:33 says, sell that which you have and give alms. Make for yourselves purses which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief draweth near, neither moth destroyeth. And in Acts 4:34, we're told, for neither was there among them any that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold. And 35, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and the distribution was made unto each according as any one had need. In other words, all the needs were met. She then showed me a very tiny gray velvet backing, which does not reflect light like you would get in a jewelry box. And on it were the words and numbers, 1989, 25th anniversary. Well, jewelry boxes are for luxuries that we don't have time for at this late stage. Needs of the body are the order of the day. If we Google this, strangely, we get sports cars like 1989 Mustang 25th anniversary. Well, a Mustang is a wild horse representing uncontrolled strength of the fleshly beast, Deb wrote. 1989 Lamborghini Countach, a 25th anniversary. The logo of the Lamborghini is a charging bull, Deb wrote, representing materialistic prosperity. And the 1989 Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition, representing the lusts of the flesh. Yes. This brings to mind our past worldly lusts, like the uncle being described, who is always seeking a newer and more fleshly, exciting, sporty version of a wife, rather than our practical ways we have now in the kingdom. The box had a picture of my uncle, who had recently passed, and his first wife. He divorced her back in the early 1970s, and his second wife in the 1990s, and was married to the third when he died, representing dead apostate believers who left their first love, I believe. And let me say that whose fleshly lusts are never satisfied, this is a sign that it is getting late to seek the desires of the world, and judgment is upon us. Matthew 24:38, for as in those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall be the coming of the Son of Man. So I would say, get rid of the luxuries that you can't afford to keep and think about getting light for a wilderness experience. Okay, back to the revelation. Also, there was what I perceived to be a tiny diamond in a tiny mounting bracket, like an earring by their portraits. I could only view all that was on this tiny 1-inch square by using a lens that was above the piece. If a diamond were big enough to see, someone could admire its beauty. But even then, it's a vain thing when you consider what it could do to keep souls alive, if used in a practical manner. Ecclesiastes 5:11, when goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what advantage is there to the owner thereof, save the beholding of them with his eyes? Take, for example, the self-sacrificing life of Jesus and the apostles. When Father preaches equality among us and to be satisfied with our needs met, 1 Timothy 6:8 says, "But having food and covering, we shall be therewith content." Then all of a sudden, my uncle showed up and started talking, and I woke up. I think he came to emphasize the vain, wasted life of the proud apostate Christians. He divorced his first two wives, even though he had just graduated from Dallas Theological Seminary. I did not want to listen to anything he had to say because his fruits never matched what he spoke. In fact, Father said not to go to his funeral, so I didn't go. Well, didn't Jesus say, "Let the dead bury the dead"? And this one we call "Come Out of Her," again, Jenny Hughes. Then the final vision, I was at some sort of fancy hotel motel that was loaded with people of all types. They were all involved in their own lives and affairs, and no one came outside. They walked their dogs in the halls of the dark motel and played their games. Well, the fancy dark hotel slash motel is a corporate body of those apostate Christians who walk in darkness and vanity. Never mind the Great Commission, right? Each was in their own apartment. I wanted to get outside, out of the dark, and into the sunshine. In other words, under the sun-shine. After several attempts to get people to come out, no one, not even my mother-in-law, came out. So I left and went outside. Well, we know, the Lord says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." I was walking by what was supposed to be the outdoor pool side, but I could not really see the pool anymore. Well, you know, water represents the word sometimes. In this case, I think so. Keep the word before your eyes, in other words. Couldn't see the pool anymore. There were all these cages, almost like dog kennels, for outside dogs. Well, I think dogs here are unbelieving Christians in cages of bondage. Revelation 18:2. "And he cried with a mighty voice, saying, Fallen, fallen is Babylon the great, and is become a habitation of demons, and a hold," the literal word there means prison, "of every unclean spirit, and a hold of every unclean and hateful bird. For by the wine of the wrath of her fornication all the nations are fallen, and the kings of the earth committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth waxed rich by the power of her wantonness. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come forth, my people, out of her, that you have no fellowship with her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached even unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." In Revelation 17, she was called the mother of the harlots. Come out of all of the daughter harlots. Proverbs chapter 2-7 show repeatedly that those who depart from the word become trapped by the harlot. How long could you stay in a dead church if you're actually reading the Word every day and want to be a disciple, which is a learner and a follower of the Lord? How long could you stay there? See, they get trapped. People were in their swimsuits and holding on to their swim noodles and beach toys, but I did not see any pool. You know, with people with too much flesh showing and no water of the Word in their congregation of dogs, right? In fact, I was going to leave because there was no water at all. Only the hot sun and artificial environment. In other words, a fake religious show with no fruit of the Word. People seemed to be oblivious and thought they were having a grand old time. I think many in religion do not know what they're missing, thinking this is their high calling, and just fellowshipping with each other, you know, in a carnal way. As I started to leave, a woman appeared. I think probably representing the woman church who is calling them out. She said, "Time is almost out," quote unquote. And I was thinking, wow. And she said, "The hints are all around. Your year is almost up." So time is almost up to come out from among them, or you will receive of the harlot's plagues. Then I noticed that on people there were tiny hints that were conveyed like those heart candies with a few words on them. Little phrases or single words to alert the people of the true saints, I imagine, that the time was almost up. I saw them everywhere, but especially on the people themselves, on their necks, on their faces, and their chests. I believe this represents those who truly love the Lord enough to depart from evil and keep His commandments. I decided to leave, and all of a sudden it was hectic. A snowstorm was happening, and there were 10 to 12 inches of snow on the ground. All of a sudden I was in a car, and it was pitch dark outside, and the only lights were from other cars. Well, I think we're being warned to leave now so that darkness doesn't catch us when it's too late for the trinkets to help someone. And we're warned not to wait for winter, which is called Great Tribulation in Matthew 24, 20 and 21. All seemed to be driving too fast for the conditions, but it was as if panic had set in. I think those who try to escape at the last minute will panic. I came up to a road to merge into traffic, and another me took over. I was saying, quote, "Consider others before yourself," unquote, and the other me was in a hurry and sped into traffic, nearly wrecking, and I was blocked from helping the irresponsible me to slow down or take her time. Well, the fearful will not have faith, make mistakes, and will live under the curse. We always have time to consider others' needs and Christian etiquette. We do not have to panic or be in fear like the world. Our God is the rock of salvation. We can believe in His word. Isaiah 52 and 12 says, "For you shall not go out in haste, neither shall ye go by flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rearward." and also 28 and 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone of sure foundation. He that believeth shall not be in haste. Well, they'll be in patient rest, won't they? Yes. Those that believe the word and act on the word will be in patient rest. This is not to say that you don't have to leave the harlot now while there's still time, as we have already seen. I believe the panic-stricken were the ones purified by coming in at this very late hour, as Father gave me Acts 2 and 25. For David saith concerning him, I beheld the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced, and moreover my flesh also shall dwell in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul unto Hades, neither wilt thou give thy Holy One to see corruption. Well, perhaps the Lord is saying that David, man, children, will awaken those who flee Babylon with the hope that they receive by putting the word always before their face, thus escaping Babylonish corruption. And then I woke up, she said. Here's her notes. The little hearts reminded me of the Brooks Chili Mix can, and I prayed asking Father if the lady in the rider cart was an angel, and he said yes, at least a messenger, right? On the Brooks can, there is a big heart there. And of course, that can represents the food of the Lord. So another messenger from God that it's time to love the true meat of the kingdom, right? And this is what the Brooks can looks like with the heart on it. It was on the highest shelf. In other words, it is highly valued in the kingdom, the food that brings God's people out of the harlot. Right. She asked for two cans, meaning a double portion. It's gold at the top, representing the meat underneath the heavenly kingdom, with red heart, the blood and heart of Christ, by royal blue. The main label is yellow, reflecting the light of the sun, with writing in royal blue. Brooks means running water. That's not stagnant water or stagnant word. It's not sitting there listening to somebody moralize you day after day, you know. It's living water, right? It has the power to wash you clean, not the stagnant waters. And that's what the Word of God is. It's living, running water. And that's written in red, meaning the blood of Christ is freely flowed. The words on the can were quick, quote unquote, meaning very near. Chili mix, quote unquote, meaning blend, combine, mingle, concerning the bringing of two or more things into more or less intimate association. Combine, quote unquote, implies such a close or intimate union that distinction between the parts is lost when the bride comes together with the Lord in the man-child. The just add meat, quote unquote, meaning acting on the word under the man-child leading. Hallelujah. So when the meat, which Jesus said is to do the will of my Father, is added to the brooks or living waters of the Word, you have hearers who are doers of the Word and not deluding themselves. Her clutching the cans close to her chest meant that she was holding them dear to her heart. Amen. The Father gave me three sets of scripture on this whole sequence of events. Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 20. All the commandment which I command thee this day you shall observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God hath led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not. Again, it's back to doing the will of the Lord, right? And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither didst thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by everything that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. And thou shalt consider in thy heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. And thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig copper. And thou shalt eat and be full, and thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given to thee. I tell you, the bride is coming into just such a land. And a lot of people on the outside will be having the tribulations and troubles that they need to turn their sight upon the Lord and his word and obedience. Verse 11, beware lest thou forget the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up. How true it is, in prosperity and peace, people do often forget the Lord and forget his word. And thou forget the Lord thy God, who brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions, and thirsty ground where was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And lest thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto the fathers, as at this day. So, if God's people come into wealth, just remember, he has a purpose for that, because he sware unto thy fathers as this day to establish his covenant. That's what he wants. And it shall be, if thou shalt forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that you shall surely perish. And as the nations that the Lord maketh to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you would not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Hebrews 4:1-16 says, Let us fear, therefore, lest haply a promise being left of entering into his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good tidings preached unto us, even as also they, but the word of hearing did not profit them, because it was not mixed by faith, not united by faith, with them that heard. For we who have believed do enter in to that rest, even as he has said, As I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has said somewhere of the seventh day on this wise, And God rested on the seventh day from all of his works. And in this place, again, they shall not enter into my rest. Seeing, therefore, that it remaineth that some should enter in thereunto, and they to whom the good tidings were before preached failed to enter in because of disobedience. He again defineth a certain day, today, saying in David, so long a time afterwards, even as hath been said before, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken afterwards of another day. There remaineth, therefore, a Sabbath rest. That's a sabbatismos, the only place in the Bible. And it means a continual rest every day, resting from your own works to do God's works, right? For the people of God, a continual rest for the people of God, for he that hath entered into his rest hath himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore give diligence to enter into that rest, that no man fall after the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and quick to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there's no creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and laid open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Having then a great high priest, who hath passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the infirmities, the feeling of our infirmities, but one that hath been in all points tempted like as we, and yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with boldness unto the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. Well, I have taught that Babylon is both a political and a religious entity. Not the physical entity you see out there, but this political and religious entity that has taken that over. It has become increasingly clear that the political entity is the deep state Khazarian world empire, which is joined with a world mother of harlots. Both are being plundered together of their fortunes that Trump is progressively taking possession of. Their downfall will be completed in the tribulation, as we know. Revelation 18, 1 through 24. After these things I saw another angel coming down out of heaven, having great authority, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried with a mighty voice, saying, Fallen, fallen is Babylon the great, and is become a habitation of demons, and a hold of every unclean spirit, and a hold of every unclean and hateful bird. For by the wine of the wrath of her fornication all the nations are fallen, and the kings of the earth committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth waxed rich by the power of her wantonness. And I heard another voice from heaven, saying, Come forth, my people, out of her, that you have no fellowship with her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached even unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Render unto her even as she rendered, and double unto her the double according to her works. In the cup which she mingled, mingle unto her double. How much soever she glorified herself and waxed wanton, so much give her of torment and mourning. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall in no wise see mourning. Therefore in one day shall her plagues come, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judged her. And the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived wantonly with her shall weep and wail over her when they look upon the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for fear of her torment, saying, Woe, woe, the great city, Babylon, the strong city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. Merchandise of gold and silver and precious stone and pearls and fine linen, purple and silk, and scarlet, and all fine wood, and every vessel of ivory, and every vessel made of most precious wood, and of brass, and of iron, and of marble. Prosperity, in other words, prosperity and materialism, and cinnamon, and spice, and incense, and ointment, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and cattle, and sheep, and a merchandise of horses, and chariots, and slaves, merchandise of slaves, and souls of men. Trafficking, in other words. The world is full of trafficking. And the fruits which thy soul lusted after are gone from thee, and all things that were dainty and sumptuous are perished from thee. And men shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who were made rich by her shall stand afar off for fear of her torment, weeping and mourning. In other words, the materialism will pass away by God's hand. Saying, woe, woe, the great city, she that was arrayed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stone and pearl. For in an hour so great riches is made desolate, and every shipmaster and every one that saileth any whither, and mariners, and as many as gained their living by the sea, stood afar off and cried out as they looked upon the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like thy great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and mourning, saying, woe, woe, the great city, wherein all that had their ships in the sea were made rich by the reason of her costliness. For in one hour is she made desolate. Let me say, I believe that 1 hour here is identified in the previous chapter as the 3.5 years of the beast. It was said to be 1 hour in chapter 17 and verse 12. And I can see these things, or I believe, will be taken away. All that materialistic things and prosperity of apostate Christianity will be taken away in that 1 hour. Verse 20, rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye saints, and ye apostles, and ye prophets, for God hath judged your judgment on her, and as a strong angel took up a stone, as it were, a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with a mighty fall shall Babylon, the great city, be cast down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and minstrels and the flute players and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman of whatever craft shall be found any more at all in thee, and the voice of a mill shall be heard no more at all in thee, and the light of a lamp shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the princes of the earth, for with thy sorcery were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints, and of all that have been slain upon the earth. Yep. Babylon has not told the truth. Religious Babylon has not told the truth to God's people and has made them quite comfortable sitting under apostasy and not growing up, not maturing 30, 60, and 100-fold. We're in the midst of a great falling away. God's going to do something about it. For those that have eyes to see and ears to hear, right? And that's a good thing. There is a revival coming. The people that don't listen this time are probably going to be reprobated, because it's going to be punctuated with signs and wonders following. Glory be to God. God confirms His word with signs and wonders following. And when those words are confirmed in such a way, there can be a great falling away of people who don't listen, because they saw the signs, they saw the wonders, they saw the works of the Lord's hands, and they did nothing about it. I guess one of the most important things we should take away from this series of revelations is that we're not just hearers of the word deluding ourselves. We're doers of the word, bearing fruit. If you're not doing the word, you're not bearing fruit. Fruit is the manifestation of the word through you. So we're called to be doers of the word. We're called to come out from among them and be separate. A lot of Christianity is very settled. They just go to work on Sunday and or go to school, church on Sunday, and they go home and they go back to doing whatever they were doing, and they fulfilled their day of responsibility, and which obviously people that do that haven't read the Word of God. They don't know what we're here for. They don't know what our Lord has called us to. The most important thing to him was the last things he spoke about, which was the gospel to the nations, right? It's not important to a lot of people today to get the gospel out to the nations. It's not important. So we're in this great falling away, and we pray, Lord, that you will bless your people and draw them quickly in Jesus' name. All right. God bless you, saints. Talk to you soon.